GNC 595. It's Friday, July 23rd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a primer of the Tech Podcast Network. Thank goodness it's Friday. Got a great show for you. Lots to talk about. It's been a great week. It really, really has, and it's shaping up to be a great weekend. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There's no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show, and it's a very windy, nice, cool evening in Hawaii. The neighbors are having a party. It's kind of weird that they never have parties, but must be a special occasion next door, so they're having fun. So we'll see if that drifts through here during the show. But I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana, all of you that are longtime listeners of the show and viewers, of course. Thanks for being part of the Ohana, being part of the family here at Geek News Central. Of course, we want to welcome new listeners from 165 countries worldwide that either listen or tune into the show via Roku, via whatever device or on the web or however you get us. Thanks for being here. And make sure you get signed up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains all the content that I'm going to talk about tonight, including links back to all of the articles that have either been submitted by you or found by me. So make sure you get signed up for the newsletter. That way you won't miss a single thing that's going on with the show. And as I talk about the content and you're listening to it, not necessarily live, but listen to it later, you can follow along or pick the highlights out of there. Well, I tell you, it's been a busy week. It's just like, it's Friday already, and I was like, whoa, where did the week go? Had an absolutely great meeting with a vendor, a couple of vendors, and I'm under an NDA, two NDAs like you would not even believe. So I really can't say too much about what the meetings were about. Only suffice to say that it is in the OTT space. And that's really all I can say, except that they were great meetings. I'm really excited. I'm energized. Last one was this afternoon, and it's going to be a very interesting fall, for a better term. And we'll talk more about it when I can. But it is not related to the Pop Box, and we'll talk about that a little later in the show and my review and receipt of a Pop Box. We'll talk about that a little later in the show. But for those of you that are watching us on Roku or watching on the Boxy, hey, thanks for checking us out. Tell your friends and family members about the show, and get them a Roku device, or because they make great gifts. And you know, that's the best way to really catch the show from the big screen. And I've been getting a lot more reports in from folks on the Roku. Thanks for watching. And Boxy, when their box comes out, I think we'll see a big increase there. Do want to take care of a little business here, of course, as we get into the show. And one thing that I want to have you guys be made aware of is that the folks over at GoDaddy have now launched their .co domains. So if you're looking, if you have a company or you think that the .co is going to work good for you, the domains are a little expensive. They're $29.95 for the first year. I don't know what the renewal price is going to be, but .co is now available. And get the name you really want, because the land rush is definitely on for the .co domains. As a matter of fact, I went looked for three or four of the domains already that I wanted, and they were already gone. And I actually even got solicited from a secondary party trying to sell me podcast.co. And I was like, unless it has the M in front of it, I don't want that one. So check it out. Of course, .coms, of course, are always available at a great price by using my ComSale promo code. And of course, hosting accounts, whether it be a shared, dedicated, virtual dedicated server, they've got it. You got a great build a website for $5 on their website. Check that out. Of course, you can sell products online as well. So definitely check GoDaddy out, and I'll have a link up in the show notes tonight, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, to get all of my codes so that you can say big when you're over there shopping with them. And we're being close here to really the end of the month, so anything that you can do, bring my way, business my way in the GoDaddy space, we definitely appreciate it. But thanks to GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. Make sure you get over there and get that .co. And also, as a reminder, pick up their iPhone, their Blueberry app, their Android app, and that way you can manage your domains and buy them real just quickly, really with your mobile device. So keep that in mind as well. Okay, the Insider. Of course, the Insider is for those of you that are basically contributing to the show every month. The Insider has been recorded. It hasn't been distributed. After I got done recording the last show, I basically went into Insider mode, and I covered a number of topics. And I guess I can give a little taste. And actually, the wind's blowing here so much, I don't know if I'm going to get wind into the back of the mic or not. If I do, I apologize. I thought I had the window cranked down far enough, but it's whipping pretty good. But talking about tweaking the show and talk about the process of how the show's put together and finding some balance for it, talking about video, talk about how I nitpicked the show to death, about going back to school and, you know, investing in the show. There's a whole bunch of stuff here that gets pretty deep into the psychic and how I go about continuing to try and improve the show and move forward. But it talks about some challenges. So again, that's going to be coming to all of you that are an Insider, and hopefully after the show tonight, I can move that to online and make that available for all of you and get an email out, and that way you can grab it and watch it before the weekend. I have not gotten any feedback from any of you that sent envelopes for swag packages. All the swag package envelopes went out, and I'm going to assume at this time that because we had the break-in with the vehicle right around the same time that there was some funny business going on in the neighborhood, that the night before when I mailed the swag packages, I'm going to assume those had been stolen. And that's the only thing I can think of. And it's very, very important, because this would have been taken out of the mailbox, which would really up the ante here to a federal crime. So please, if you have received your swag package, please email me at geeknews@gmail.com and say, Todd, I got it. And it's really important that you do that for me so that I know, because I don't want to go cry wolf on this one, because this is a big one. And I know several of you personally that were supposed to have gotten packages. I'll email you guys directly tomorrow to really double check on this. But if you were signed up, you'd had sent in envelopes in to get a swag package, please, please, please tell me that you have gotten it or not. And that at least will tell me what way I need to proceed, because it's a big deal. And this all happened right around the same period as when all those swag packages went in the mail. I want to thank the folks over at Matrix Direct. That campaign has wrapped up. So we're back to our regular two sponsors here on the show. But I want to thank Matrix Direct for their run. And for those of you that checked out their services, I appreciate that very much. July on this money raising venture that I did for July has largely been, not so overwhelmingly positive. And I had no idea going into it what we would see for the month. And I figured whatever would happen would happen. Those that have donated, I definitely appreciate it. And but otherwise, it's just one of those things that, I guess that was something that probably didn't work. So, I'm willing to share with you guys what works and what doesn't work, but definitely the fundraising thing did not work. So it's okay. That's what we have sponsors for the show. And just things will move a little bit slower than what I had planned, but that that's okay. That's part of the game here, and it's part of the challenge of continuing to grow the audience out. But you know, you guys have always been honest with you and telling you which way the show's going and things that have worked and that haven't worked. Obviously, the longtime sponsors with GoDaddy and with Citrix being here as a sponsor for a long time, that has been very successful. And in they would not continue to renew if it has not or had not been. So anyway, thanks for you guys' continued support on that space as well. All right, let me look here at the list. GeekNewsCentral.com/offers to check out all our offers. Of course, the insider is at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. And then if you want to get something at the Ohana store, cafepress.com/Ohana store. And again, send your pictures in for stuff that you picked up at the Ohana store. And I'm actually looking for a folder here on the hard drive. There we go. And that's, oh, you know, nothing like poor planning before the beginning of the show here. And of course, I guess that's it. So favorite the website on Facebook. That's always important as well. So let's get into the content here in just a second. But before, let's make sure we got enough money to keep the lights on. You know, companies of all sizes must always look for a new way to cut costs. And the economy continues to be in a situation where we don't know if it's going to climb out of the doldrums that it's in, or if we're going to, you know, kind of seep into a second depression or a recession. And we really don't want that. But so we know that every dollar saved helps the bottom line. And that's why I recommend the web conferencing solution for your business known as GoToMeeting. You know, it helps improve overall business communications and efficiencies. And really the easiest, most affordable is, of course, the product by Citrix, GoToMeeting. Reduce time on the road by presenting, training, and or demonstrating online. Improve conference calls by collaborating in real time by sharing your screen. And GoToMeeting is the best way to increase your productivity cost. Again, as a listener of this show, you can get a free 30-day trial by going to GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. And as a reminder, they've got that cool iPad app out. And that thing was fun. It's fun to use. It is very, very cool. Actually, my family and I had planned on going to the beach in the morning, or spending all day at the beach tomorrow. And I had blocked out the time in my schedule to make that happen. My kids are all done with all their summer activities that go on here in Hawaii. And we're all set to go. And at just about 15 minutes before the show started tonight, our contractor that comes in has been doing work on the house from time to time. He says, "Hey, I can come tomorrow all day." And we both looked at each other. So I'm going to do what I was planning to do on Saturday tomorrow while he's here, and then Saturday we're going to the beach with the kids. So it just kind of screwed everything up, but you know, it's like one of those situations where you gotta make hay when the sun shines. When he's available, you gotta let him work. So hopefully the rest of the door and the trims and all that stuff will go in tomorrow and we'll be done. But she's already planning the next round of home improvements. And fellas, do you guys like have these discussions with your significant others? And when it comes to things that you're going to do in the house, and I guess I'm not a design person at all, and I have no way to vision how something's going to look. So I'm the type of guy that says, okay, can I just go do it? Do one, in other words, do one window, then we'll look and see how it looks. And if that looks good, we'll go with that with the rest of the house. And, you know, it's just the way I work, I guess. Are you guys the rest of the way like that? I just can't vision stuff. I have to see it. So, but anyway, enough on that. Let's get into the tech. All right. If you're using Safari, this is important here, okay? Security team has found a exploit where if you are using the autofill, basically the autofill feature in Safari, and you visit a website that has the key to this exploit, what will happen is that they'll be able to suck your information right out of the browser. And this is big. This is a you know, not only is the folks at Apple's spying on us with our phones on location based services, but now they're giving information to hackers using the section in the autofill web forms. So uncheck this block in Safari. If you go into the settings and go into autofill, where it says autofill web forms using info from my address book card, uncheck that, okay? Uncheck that. That way you'll be okay until they get this thing fixed. But yeah, it's not too hard of a hack to really implement either. So be careful out there with Safari and with this feature enabled. You know, one thing that we saw at CES 2010 is we saw, you know, mobile TV everywhere. And that was the, you know, the kind of the buzz of CES 2010. And, you know, I was kind of like, eh. And I know that in Japan, CES actually, okay, I want to skip the ad. In Japan, the TV on the mobile phones is kind of big. So I figured they thought this was going to be big here, but Qualcomm is not real happy with MediaFlow. MediaFlow is the Flow TV business that they are partnered with, and they are in basically in discussions with a number of their partners deciding which way to go of this. And really what they want is Qualcomm wants a divorce. Look at that huge ad. Anyway, Qualcomm wants a divorce from MediaFlow. So the question on this is, and I guess this is a question for all of you for the first comment on tonight's show, is do you want to watch TV on your mobile device? Well, if you think about the bandwidth required, and I know there's some systems that where you don't have to have bandwidth being used. It actually comes in via a signal over the air. You know, separate from your normal data stuff. You guys want to watch TV? Do you guys want to watch TV on your mobile device? Or is that something you reserve for your lazy boy and sit in front of your, you know, in front of your television set at home? For me, I don't get it. I don't get the whole TV on mobile, but, I don't know. Maybe someone out there will disagree with me and provide me some input here, but, I'd love to hear you guys' feedback, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Hey, the folks over at PC World have a pretty cool article on top 12 spy gadgets. And these are all kinds of very, very little naughty toys, for a better word. And some of them are really not toys for the price of them. They've got information on remote monitoring, spy cams, cellular jammers, key loggers, that scares me right there. And then a variety of other things on some other pages. We're talking about GPS trackers, document scanners, and then they have some stuff for anti-bugging protection. But it just goes in here. And if you're looking to get in the private detective business, the folks at PC World may have the latest gear that you'll want to buy for that business. But as devices get smaller, it definitely raises some concern on how basically we're being monitored, watched by people that are outside of law enforcement. It does make you sit back and go, And, you know, I just looked at this little keylogger, and really, if you weren't paying attention, if you didn't have access to the back of your computer at all times, someone could stick one of these on your USB port, then basically plug your keyboard into it, and you'd be owned right there. $71. It's a PS2 keylogger. $71, and someone could capture everything that you're typing. And as an employer, I think I'd be a little bit worried too that industrial spying and that type of stuff that goes on. And I don't know how good the ability is to detect this type of stuff. But you know, as we're going to talk about in an article here in a minute, you know, industrial spying is big right now. You know, the military, of course, has this huge, huge issue, or not huge issue, but they have a huge concern to keep things secret. But, you know, companies at the same token have the same, same concerns. Now, in a story kind of related to spying, there was a, the federal government has charged a couple in Michigan with, stealing hybrid car information. Of course, it was as could be expected. Two Chinese individuals that have been charged with a conspiracy to possess trade secrets without authorization, unauthorized possession of trade secrets, and wire fraud. And then one of the individuals also charged with obstruction of justice. I think that's a charge that just goes on, with any of these types of cases. But General Motors is basically saying that these individuals have stolen documents worth $40 million. So from December 2003 to May of 2006, these two have taken as much information from General Motors relating to hybrid vehicles and fed them to the Chinese. And assumingly, the Chinese government or Chinese firm. And these individuals were actually working at GM, and they copied these documents after they were, I guess, laid off or something. But, you know, it just goes to show you that even the copying of documents is alive and well, but GM is really worried. And obviously, what happens to the Chinese, if they can't make it, they steal it and they copy it. Now, this may make some people mad in the audience, but just the way things are, and I'm sure it works in reverse too, but, you know, if you can't build it, steal it, right? That's the ongoing issue there, but we'll see. Hey, have you heard about this, just moving on here, have you heard about this WordPress battle that's going on? And this has gotten, has been making several rounds in the news, and I really haven't talked too much about it, but Matt, the creator of WordPress, is basically saying that anyone that's creating templates for WordPress, those templates must be released under a GPL license, and specifically because WordPress itself is has the GPL license associated with it as well. And the maker of the Thesis, T-H-E-S-I-S, a Thesis theme, I guess he's a very popular theme creator. And I went over and looked at his themes and kind of understood why he's gotten the type of press he has, because he makes some pretty good interactive WordPress themes. He's basically having a big battle with Matt. And basically what WordPress is basically, they're going to threaten to sue him. And unless this guy changes his templates to GPL. Now, the thing I guess that bothers me here is that if you're, and there's all kinds of arguments on this, and there's two camps, either those that say it should be and those that say it shouldn't. But here's the crux of the matter. How does WordPress continue to advance if you don't have guys doing innovative stuff, building cool templates that they can sell, that they're not going to get, they're not going to worry about getting, have the code ripped off from them. And I don't know if that's the full crux of it, but this is going to turn into a major ugly battle before it's all over. It's already ugly. It's been a war of words up to this point. But, you know, they're not asking people to work for free. You can still get paid for your work of creating templates, but the key is he wants the templates released as GPL. Now, that goes for plugins. Plugins are included. Our PowerPress plugin that we have spent, invested literally thousands of dollars in coding time, is licensed under GPL. That is required. And I don't think there's any plugin developers that have not licensed their plugins under GPL. So what does that mean? That means someone can take our PowerPress plugin and spin off their own version. It would be pretty cheesy to do that, but they could. And it's just because the way the GPL license works. So we'll see. We'll see how this battle ends up being. And it really, essentially what it boils down to is it's saying that the WordPress theme is PHP. And it's not necessarily it's like not a traditional HTML template, although it has elements of that. So only time will tell. Hey, Microsoft has made a major change in its disclosure policy, according to for handling vulnerabilities. They're moving to a model that they're calling coordinated vulnerability disclosure, in which the researcher, in other words, the person who has found the vulnerability, and Microsoft work together to verify the vulnerability and then allow time for Microsoft to apply a patch. Now, the philosophy also recognizes, and this is what Microsoft is saying, that if there are already attacks happening, zero day attacks, then it may be necessary to release details of the flaw even before a patch is ready to prevent a major impact to people's infrastructure. So the new strategy relies on researchers to report vulnerabilities either directly to a vendor or to a trusted third party, such as CERT, who will then report it to the vendor. The finder and the vendor would then agree on a disclosure timeline and work from there. So I think this is a good idea by Microsoft to do it this way. This is very smart, but I think Microsoft's challenge here is that they're going to have to, work smart and be quick. They're going to have to, for a better word, they're going to have to make sure that they don't waste time in getting a patch put in. And if they can do that effectively, then I think they'll be all right in implementing this new policy. Hey, NPR has got a great article. I've been finding lately a lot of good stuff on NPR. They have upped their game in news reporting. And maybe it's just because I didn't follow NPR enough in the past to really know. But NPR's got a story about a project going on right now where they're driving a vehicle from Italy to China with no driver. Now, this is pretty cool. A team of Italian engineers launch what has been billed as the longest ever test of a driverless vehicle in a 3-month, 8,000-mile road trip from Italy to China. Now, they're saying this is, they're going to have two people in the vehicle. They're going to be there to assist in case there's an issue. He says that the trip can't be done completely without a driver because in any situation, you have to have some sort of interaction. They're going to be a 3-vehicle convoy. But, this is going to be able to test their technology developed by a company called VizLab and in their artificial and intelligent systems to see how it, how it reacts, how it works, what they can do to make it better. So if they get more information on this, we'll definitely talk about it later in the show and we'll probably be some more stories about it. Hey, what do you think about this lawsuit against Facebook from this developer who says he now owns like 80-some% of the company? If I was Zuckerberg, I think I'd be a little bit nervous because there's all kinds of things that keep coming up about Facebook's past. There was this lawsuit, these other college students that say this was part of my idea. And then I don't know what they did. If they settled with those guys or if that lawsuit was thrown out. Now you got this new guy that's come out and say, hey, I've been hiding out for 6 years, but yet I get this contract that says, that he agreed to certain terms. And here's the thing that is kind of scary. Think about 6 years back, okay? Let's go back 6 years. That's, for me, 2004, if I'm doing the math right? I can remember very clearly everything that I did in 2004. Well, partially because podcasting started. That was the year I got hurt. I spent a lot of time in Waco, Texas, babysitting airplanes. There's just a whole bunch of stuff that happened in 2004. I was overseas in the Middle East. And, it was just a very busy year. Now, if I'm a young guy and I'm going to college and I want to start a website, first of all, $1,000, if I'm going to spend $1,000 as a college student, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money for a college student to spend to do this design. Don't you think you would remember? Wouldn't you remember the terms that you had made with this individual? I think I could very easily remember a contract that I would have made with someone involving $1,000, especially when I was his age. When I was his age, of course, times have changed in the amount of money. $1,000 was a huge amount of cash, but most college students are broke. They already have time to eat and have beer money, let alone $1,000 for a website. So when Diane Sawyer questioned him on this, and he says he doesn't think Facebook was part of the contract, doesn't think? You have got to be kidding me. If it was me, I'd be absolutely not. That contract was for this, doing this specific thing, non-related to Facebook. This, to me, smells really, really bad. Now, here's my guess on this. This guy is going to make a lot of money. I predict that he is going to cash out on this to make, they're going to make him go away with a big fat check. So that's a question. What do you guys think? Does it smell funny to you? Even though they're saying, oh, this guy has nothing to do. It's a fake. It's a forgery, blah, blah, blah. If I'd have made a contract with someone and Diane Sawyer asked me that question, you can absolutely guarantee I would know the answer to that. That sounds like a political answer to me, or that sounds like an answer that someone would give trying to evade. And this is my opinion, folks. Is he evading? I personally think he is. Will anything happen? I don't know. I might be wrong, but it just, in my personal opinion, smells funny. It really does. Okay, here's something that today just blew my mind. Don't we have Democrats in the House? We've got Democrats in the Senate, and we have a Democrat in the White House. Okay, so we got the control Senate, House, and the executive branch. So a House version of a NASA authorization bill released this week would sharply limit funding for a number of initiatives that the administration's budget proposal for NASA, in other words, they're going to limit funding for a number of initiatives in the administration's budget proposal for NASA while supporting continued government development of spacecraft and launch vehicles. The bill would authorize NASA at the same overall level, in other words, but they're going to give them the same amount of money, but would only provide $50 million a year for 5 years for commercial crew development, plus $100 million a year for loan guarantees. Now, the White House had requested $6 billion over 5 years for the effort. So the bill would also call on NASA to continue to develop a crewed spacecraft and launch a vehicle closely derived from the Constellation program the administration sought to cancel. Now, the bill does support an extension to the International Space Station operation to 2020 as requested. I saw this today, and I was like, whoa, holy cow. So what has happened here is the House has basically, if I'm reading this wrong, someone tell me here, but this to me says the House is telling the president to go pack sand. Now, I thought that this just kind of blows me away. We've already got all these other bills through the way that the president wants it. So how did this change? What do you guys think? Geeknews@gmail.com. What do you guys think? Unless I'm missing something here, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, but they have basically undone through this appropriations bill. Of course, remember, we didn't have a budget this year. The House never did a budget, so all funding for all programs are going to be through appropriation bills. So, you know, you and I can have a budget for our House, but the House of Representatives did not have a budget this year. They just have appropriation bills, so they don't really didn't lay out what they're going to spend because they're just going to spend. So this is, to me, is good. Well, I personally think that NASA should continue to do some of the things that they're very good at. And I agree that there should be some commercialization. So there's a trade-off there, but they definitely did not give the president what he wanted in this bill. Now, whether or not the administration will sign the appropriations bill, that's a different story. So we'll see what happens. I'm sure there's more to come on this. I'd like to hear you guys' feedback on that as well. Geeknews@gmail.com. This is the second articles tonight. I'd really like to hear feedback on from all of you. Geeknews@gmail.com. Just from a perspective of, what do you guys think that they should be spending money on? I don't, you know, we can leave the politics out, but where do you think that our tax dollars should be going to fund NASA? And in which way should we be going? All right, Panasonic is, and this is an article over on Engadget. Let me go ahead and put the link up here, actually the article up. The folks at Panasonic apparently are going to be coming out with a consumer-level 3D camcorder. Now, I priced the pro versions of the camcorder, and let me tell you, it's going to be probably about 5 years before I buy one of those. Oh my goodness, a single camera I think was like $20,000 for a single 3D camera, and you know, I thought the cost on the TriCaster was horrible, but for a single camera, $20,000, I can buy four pro cameras for that price. So if they're going to be coming out with a home version or a consumer level 3D camcorder, what are the trade-offs going to be if they're going from 20 large on a pro camera to, you know, a 3D camcorder is going to have to probably be under $1,500 for consumers. So we'll see. We'll see how this comes out. How many of you have bought a 3D TV? You know, how many of you done that? All right, next article up, Microsoft has reported $4.5 billion in profit. So the naysayers that say it was, were saying that Apple was going to outperform in profits more than Microsoft were stymied today. And really what they made a billion plus more than in profit than Apple did. But this is pretty big number here. 16.04 billion in revenue, $4.5 billion in profit. They had a huge number of Windows 7 orders, 100, and it just goes on and on. They had pretty good quarter, and the overall they had a great year. Now they're projecting a pretty big year next year too. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But all kinds of stats here. I'm not going to get into that. They had their earnings call. We don't need to go in that too deep. How many of you have seen this this Band-Aid for the iPhone 4? You know what? This was genius. Two people sit around one day and said, oh, let's just put a Band-Aid on our phone and so that we'll, you know, we're not going to touch that spot so we don't lose signal. Well, they built these little they're selling these little Band-Aids, and they can't... They can't fill orders fast enough. People are crazy about them. But I love this sticker. And then you'll have to look at those of you that are listening to the show, I have to look at the link. It's another article over on Engadget where basically the sticker says end call. Removed end call. But they made all kind of cutesy little Band-Aids for the corner of the iPhone 4. And I must admit, I'm going to have to go out and order some of these Band-Aids. So when I pick up the iPhone 4, then I'll have that available to put on there. And, you know, if nothing else, is a conversation piece. So, you know, a couple of folks thought this up and they're selling them like crazy. Our surprise, surprise, those of you that are Verizon users, again, those of you that are Verizon users and are on data plans, Verizon said we are going to end unlimited bandwidth because what they're finding, shockingly, is Droid users are gobbling up as much as 5 times the amount of data of other Verizon smartphones. So they're going to follow suit like AT&T, and they're going to curb its unlimited data plans. And we'll see. We'll see what they come up with. But they are very surprised that the number of people using the Droid X are basically... using 5 times as much data. Surprise, surprise. You know, you're going to give us these phones like that. They have great product, you know, great features. Of course, people are going to use them. And the Droid X, the screen is huge. It's humongous. So it just, you know, encourages people to use it like a computer. I know some of you are fans of Stitcher. I'm not a big, super big fan of Stitcher. I run a few other programs to download. And really, part of it is because I spent so much time in airplanes. If I haven't synced my phone to iTunes, then I basically have another program that will download stuff to my phone when I'm basically in a spot where I can, you know, leave the app running for a little bit. But Stitcher now will run in the background. And so long as you've got a good connection, you can listen to most podcasts. The challenge I have with Stitcher is trying to find some podcasts. They've got it. Some stuff is just buried, and they definitely play preference to some of the more popular tech shows. I was able to find my show, but I wasn't able to find like our Tech Podcast Network Weekly, and they just couldn't find them. You can run this in the background. Just remember, you're using bandwidth to do that. And don't bust your 2 gig cap because you listen to too much in the background with on the data plan, and you're going to do exactly that. So that was an article over on Geek News Central, one of our contributing authors over there, Jeffrey. Susan Bell, boy oh boy, she is not at all happy with AT&T. And I have to admit, there are times when I can have my fill of them too. She basically continued to have signal issues, and she basically can see the tower. She thinks she's supposed to have a good 3G connection, and she ends up being on edge. And she just doesn't understand. She's spending all this money with them, yet the reliability of the service is not good. Now, the challenge, you know what makes me mad? Is that I'll have great signal coverage, and then I'll load a page on my iPhone, and it'll just sit there and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and never load the page. At least it could do is time out and say, I can't reach the page or I'm having trouble. But no, it just teases you with that little spinning, object up in the top left-hand corner of the phone. When it works, it works. But when it don't, it don't. It's just, it's that simple. And but this is a good article by, again, Susan Bell, one of our contributing writers at GNC. All right, let's talk about my reaction or my initial opinion here of the Pop Box. I ordered my Pop Box on a Friday. It was delivered on Monday. I didn't get it hooked up until Tuesday or Wednesday. Maybe it was last night. I didn't get it hooked up until Wednesday. And one thing I didn't realize when I ordered the thing, I didn't realize they had two models. I didn't realize they sold a wireless and a wired. And I had gotten the wired. And I could have gotten the wireless for $20 more. So instead, I'm getting stuck with another $20 plus $11 shipping, because nothing gets shipped to Hawaii from Amazon unless you spend a bunch of money. So all total, I think my Pop Box is going to be like $160 when it could have been $149. Irregardless, hooked it up and run a cable to it, got it hooked up to the big TV, and I was really excited because I'd seen this thing in action at South by Southwest, talked to folks at CES. Sadly, we had not gotten approval to be a developer yet with them, and that just came through last week, I guess, so really no time to put the channel together. So when I turned the machine on and immediately before it even did anything, it did a firmware update, which took 6, 7, 8 minutes, rebooted, came up, and of course it wanted to know where all my media was. And really, I've got all my media player stuff already wired up. All I really wanted this thing for was to see the apps and how the interactivity of it was. So I just basically bypassed that segment. And then when I went to the apps or the channel section, 10 channels. That's it. And I was like, where's the rest of the channels? Revision 3 was on there, YouTube, some thing that the Sybase people have come up with, 2 or 3 apps there, but hardly any apps from any third parties. So I was like, I was flabbergasted. No Netflix, even our competitor MediaFly, who's on a lot of devices, they're not on the device. I'm like, what's the story with that? And I'm really I've sent an email over to the CEO of MediaFly. Him and I exchange emails from time to time. I said, why are you not on the Pop Box? And no reply from him yet. So I'm wondering here, this is the thing that has me concerned. And the Pop Box people haven't reacted to my article. If they have, they haven't been willing to leave a comment or drop me an email. But when I talked to them at South by Southwest, they really indicated that they wanted to have upper level content. They wanted to have very professional. They wanted this to have content that would be highly refined, a true entertainment device with, content that, I guess, how it was implied, a step above new media. And that kind of made me kind of leery at the time. And I really kind of just, I didn't know if the guy that I was talking to knew what he was talking about. But not seeing the MediaFly app on there made me go, did they pull it because they were worried about the quality of the content or what? And I loaded the channel from Revision 3, and it was good. The content, the menu system was nice. The video rendered nice. Pretty pleased with the performance. Went to the YouTube app. Played with YouTube for a little bit. Tried to load my channel. Could not get my video to play on YouTube. Of course, it doesn't help that my video that I send to YouTube is 900 meg. So I'm sure that probably had something to do with it. Other channels and videos loaded fine and played okay. Video was pretty good. The actual quality of the video stream was fine. But talking with my guys today, I'm really wondering what, we're going to look at the SDK and see how hard it is or easy it is to develop for this thing. I'll be honest with you. The Roku's gave us back huge, huge returns. Huge. I can't even really calculate at this point the value that we've gotten back from the Roku. But it was a lot of money. I mean, a lot of money to develop those channels. And just because of the programming time. Now, if the Popbox turns out to require that high of investment, then I'm going to have to really think about where we're going to lay our money at. And, we're definitely going to be developing for Vudu. That is right on the top of the priority list to go. And then these other two vendors that I can't talk about will be in that same mix, along with Google TV when that's forthcoming. So I don't know. If any of you got in a pop box, let me know what you think about it. But at this time, I don't know if I can recommend it. If you're just a gadget geek and you got to have it, okay, fair warning. Boy, I don't know at this point. We'll see. I know they're working hard to get the bugs fixed. And I'll continue to watch. I'll keep you guys updated. And then I'll give you some feedback on development costs to get into this device. Boxy's not too hard to develop to. So, that's, I think, where Boxy's going to have a big advantage as well. All right, over on newscientist.com, I've got a good article here about microplane perched to feed off power lines. This is really cool. Basically, they're in a lab doing some tests, and the airplane flies right up to the power line, kind of comes up and goes into a stall and hooks onto it. And they're toting this as a miniature surveillance aircraft. I have to kind of laugh a little bit because what does the military do in the first things during any type of conflict? They take the power grid out. So would be no power lines to perch on. So this was an MIT thing. So we'll see. But a pretty cool little video. I have it linked up for you to check out here. Hey, over on Gizmodo. You heard about Darth Vader robbing a bank? Well, if you, first of all, you see somebody walk into a bank in a Darth Vader outfit, you would call the police, right? Well, this guy robbed a bank in New York with Darth Vader. Can you hand over the money? I know some folks that do some YouTube videos and stuff with Darth Vader. So I hope it wasn't those guys. They're great guys. Don't get me wrong. So I know it wasn't them, but, what a way to rob a bank in a Darth Vader outfit. Over in Italy, a utility company over there has unveiled what they're calling the Arch Media. It's the first concentrating solar power system that uses molten salt for heat transfer. So what they do is they have molten salt that they heat up, and basically it's capable of getting up to 1,000 degrees, which in turn they use to boil water, which is driven steam to drive turbines. So this goes on all day, and then when it gets dark, this molten salt has a capability of staying hot for a long time. So they're able to use power to the plant or get power out of the plant even after dark. Now, they don't talk about how long after dark, but this is the first plant in the world to use molten salts to not just store heat, but also to collect it from the sun for energy. And the key to this is that it has the ability to be able to really, I guess they say 550 degrees centigrade is the temperature that it can be kept at. So this is pretty cool. We'll see how well this, we need to see more information on this. But they feel that this is kind of a trade-off. They get a little more energy. They don't need the sun up as long. They get more energy out of the plant after it gets dark. So very cool on their part. Have you heard about this Flipboard? Of course, I got my iPad down here, so I was going to load it tonight. But it's all CNN. It's on Fox. Scobel started this a whole rampage of these people wanting to get this app. But, you know, hearing great things about it. It gives you basically information in a kind of like a newspaper format from people you know, friends on your Twitter feed and so forth. But the folks over at Gizmodo have asked, is the Flipboard legal? And the reason is because what they do is they go across your website and they essentially scrape your website like a lot of other readers do today. But they pull images off and then they repurpose that onto the Flip Photo or Flipboard app. So, you know, a lot of the pictures that are on websites today are copyrighted and companies pay for usage of those photo rights. So there is some question on whether or not the Flipboard is going to run into trouble with copyright issues. So we'll see what happens with this. But a good question by the folks over at Gizmodo on whether or not this is an app that's going to be able to, you know, really stay in business. And the folks behind it are brilliant. And when Scoble says this is an amazing application, I'll take his word for it because he doesn't give that kind of an endorsement lightly. So I'll get it up. If you've played with it, love to hear your feedback on this specific app, especially if you are a content creator. All right, you know, AT&T announced their earnings today, and guess what? Killing data caps really doesn't hurt their earnings. Well, of course, it doesn't hurt their quarterly results because they don't have to pay so much for bandwidth, and they were able to post, I guess, a $4-something billion profit. Hey, you know, of course, $4 billion in profit, and while they continue to have major connectivity issues with their backbone and they're worried about people using too much data, yet they earn $4 plus billion. Wow. It says, highlighting a record 3.2 million iPhone activations, 13% higher earnings, and a sixth consecutive period of growth in postpaid average revenue subscribers. Now, the second largest carrier in the U.S. also experienced a drop in postpaid churn, with a 1.01% customer defecting to other carriers in the second quarter. Well, we'll see how many people defect from AT&T when Verizon brings on their iPhone, or T-Mobile, as also is being rumored. Hey, over on Robin Good's masternewmedia.org website, website navigation design, how to provide clear instructions and directions to your readers. This is a great article, and there's a few lessons in here that I could use. Actually, a few lessons that we implemented from earlier versions of GNC. For those of you that have been around a long time, you'll know that GNC is now on its third revision. And do you guys remember the old green, the pure green design, where everything was green, even the green on black for the I love that design, but people hated it. The print was too small, but it was one of those things that needed to go bye-bye, and it did. I probably have spent $4,000 or $5,000 over the past 8 years and, you know, keeping Geek News Central fresh and updated, but that's the price of being online. Here on YouTube, they're announcing the availability of being able to find music a lot easier on YouTube. And so pretty exciting stuff that they're doing in that space. One thing that we didn't talk about, and this actually starts tomorrow. Let me bring up YouTube.com. And this is, oh, come on, baby. Look, why did YouTube just loaded funny on me? All right. So here's the deal. Let me click on this so we can get over and I can tell you about this. Okay, one day left. Have you heard about this Life in a Day project? Let me bring this up for you. And, oh, here we go. It's going to pull. Oh, come on. And it's going to try to play again here. So what this is, let me bring this up in the browser window so you can see that we're going to hear the music again. But what they've done is One World, 24-hour, 6 billion perspective. And what it is, Life in a Day is a historic global experiment to create a user-generated feature film short in a single day by you. On July 24th, that is on Saturday, you have 24 hours to capture a glimpse of your life on camera, and they want you to submit it. You're going to be able to submit it, you're going to have a couple weeks to put it in. I'm not going to play this thing, it's a little annoying. But so what you do on Saturday is you get your camera out and film whatever you want to film. Keep it under 10 minutes for those of you that have just standard YouTube accounts, and document a single day on Earth. This is sponsored possibly by LG. And the winner of this, I don't know if they're going to have a winner or how they're going to work it out, but they've got a special site where you can submit stuff to. There's full details of this at youtube.com/lifeinaday. Now, again, this is Saturday, so this is tomorrow. You need to be ready and shoot a video of what you do during that day. And I'm going to, since we pushed our beach day to Saturday, I'm going to take the flip camera and, probably do some beach shooting and submit this to YouTube and, if nothing else, be involved in the project. So hopefully you listen to the show and hopefully you'll be able to check that out. All right, over on CNET, Twitter finds West Coast is happier than the East. And this guy that wrote this article, it's Technically Incorrect is the blog. And this guy, if you're East Coast, if you live on the East Coast, you're going to be angry after you read this article because he is not very nice to those of you that reside on the East Coast. But some scientists were able to analyze 300 million tweets to determine just when and where people are happiest and the saddest in the United States. And what they found was that the East Coast was pretty unhappy. And there was this belt starting from like Illinois down through Washington, D.C. and onto the East Coast. Really, from Tennessee south was pretty happy. And from really the Mississippi east was pretty happy. But the East Coast definitely has this, according to these scientists, is not so positive mood. And, I'm just wondering how they, how many days did they review this to get this type of data? But they've got several videos. You can see the churn over time. But I'm sorry if this offends you, but they say that people on the West Coast are happier. and having lived both on the East, West, and then, in Hawaii and other places, I would have to say that people are much happier where the sun shines a lot. And I'm not saying it doesn't shine a lot on the East Coast. And there are places on the West, like up in Seattle and that area where it rains a lot, that I wouldn't necessarily want to live, but are great places irregardless. But I don't know. What do you guys think? This is a loaded question here. Interesting what Twitter has discovered and what they've been able to determine by people's moods. Virus writers are picking up on a new Microsoft attack. The Windows attack used but recently discovered worm is being picked up by other virus writers will soon become much more widespread. And two new families of malicious software have popped up, both of which exploit a vulnerability to Windows processes .link files, which used to provide shortcuts to other files on the system. So we've talked about this a little bit before. Just keep your virus stuff up to date, and hopefully Microsoft get this patched in short order. If you're a student, don't forget you can get Windows 7 Professional for $29. You got kids going back to school. They need an upgrade of their operating system. Use that student ID. Get that Windows 7 update for $29, okay? Don't forget that. That'll save you a lot of money. Same thing with Office. All the other software your kids are going to need for school for if it's programming applications, if it's Photoshop, then get huge, huge discounts. And also, if you go to the Mac, if you buy a Mac for them, student discounts, too, will save them huge money on computers at the Apple Store. And many places offer student discounts. So don't forget that when you're out there shopping for a PC for your college-bound student. Hey, have you heard about this teenager that bartered a cell phone into a Porsche via Craigslist? This kid was smart. And, you know, you have to applaud this guy. He was given a used mobile phone. And he traded that for an iTouch on Craigslist. And then he traded the cell phone for, or the iPod Touch for a dirt bike. And then once he had the dirt bike, he traded that for a couple of other dirt bikes. And then got traded for a car. You know, basically upping when he kept getting better deals. And ultimately, he ended up with a Bronco. And he made a trade for a 2000 Porsche Boxster S, which he said was a step down from the Bronco, but he really wanted the Porsche. And so he rolls into school at 17 years old with a Porsche and started doing, it took 14 trades on Craigslist to get from this used mobile phone that a buddy had gave him to a Porsche. I would dare say that he did a heck of a good deal in bartering. And he basically said it was about luck, about timing, about knowing what he was going to get, inspecting the stuff that he was actually going to get traded for. And people have different needs and will trade different stuff up or down for stuff. And try that. You know, I had my kids read this. My son Ray was like, "Dad, you've got a couple of old iPods around here." So might be a good experiment for all of us to try. I don't know if we'll all have the same luck of getting into a Porsche, but who knows. Hey, Netflix streaming usage jumped from 37% to 61% in a year. So it's pretty amazing if you think about it. 61% of Netflix subscribers are streaming movies digitally. And a lot of them are going through devices like the Roku and other devices that Netflix is loaded on. Pretty cool stuff. Very, very cool. And keep buying those devices that have internet TV built into them because we'll be coming to those devices as well. He announced today that there's only a year left on the current IPv4 addresses. We talked a little bit about this a week ago, but they're saying that's just it. With the massive growth, we've got a year before we run out of IPv4 spaces, and so people need to get busy implementing IPv6. So we'll see what happens. Hey, the folks over at Chrome are saying they're going to a 60-day release cycle. So over the next few months, they're going to be rolling out a release every 60 days or when a release becomes stable enough. They want to shorten the release cycle and still get great features in front of users. They want to make the schedule more predictable and easier to scope. And they want to reduce the pressure on engineers to make a release. So 60 days is a pretty short turnaround period. So as you know, coders, how long is it going to take you to do it? Oh, it'll take me a week. You just multiply that by 3. If any of you ever hire a programmer, this is the golden rule. If they say it's going to take 40 hours to do something, it's really 120. Unless they're really good. Most programmers I have learned over the years cannot very well predict how long a project really is going to take. They end up going down these rabbit holes and stuff. How many of you found that to be true? Have you ever worked with a programmer? I'd love to hear your feedback. Again, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. How many of you remember Tron? How could you not remember Tron? Tron was a movie that was amazing. It was before its time. No one had ever seen anything like it. Got to have one of these keyboards. It looks like a Tron keyboard. This is really, it's just sexy. It really, really is. This is designed for the upcoming Tron. It's by Razer. And they're releasing a whole series of peripherals to be released alongside the Tron Evolution game. And, of course, Tron Legacy. So if you're a fan and you like the, this would look cool on the desk. Got to have one. I really do. They haven't listed the price, but it just looks cool. People are going to come over and see that and they're going to go, wow. Link will be up in the show notes for those of you that are listening. You can check it out for sure. It was an article over by arstechnica.com. Hey, Sony is facing a class action lawsuit for its removal of Linux from the PlayStation 3. That's a big battle that is now a bunch of lawsuits have been combined into one. Another thing, too, that's been detected in space is a sun that is, it's a sun that is 300 times the mass of our sun. And there's a good write-up on it. Researchers have went pretty gaga over this. This is the largest find ever. And got some other article here about vBulletin. If you're a vBulletin, if you're running that as a forum, you better check for patches because there's a big hack out right now for vBulletin where people can take it over. And then there's BP has been caught with their pants down and doctoring a couple of images. So, you know, they wanted to look like they had more stuff on the screens than they did. And there was a helicopter image and all kinds. BP has been altering images and have got caught by those that are, you know, really savvy and looking for this kind of stuff. Facebook has reached 500 million users. That means there's 1 in 13 people on the planet now use Facebook. That's pretty remarkable if you think about it. And last but not least is a hospital in Sweden is using a robot to fill prescriptions, and it can do it faster than humans. And, you know, have you ever went to a pharmacy and waited and waited and waited and waited? Okay, let me go ahead and play the voicemail here that has come in. And then we'll get into the emails from the last show. So again, if you have comments on the show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Jeffrey is saying on the chat that the keyboard, oh boy, maybe I won't be getting that. $150 for the keyboard and $100 for the mouse. And I don't think that's going to do. I don't think we're going to have one of those sitting on the desk. Cool or not, but $250 for a mouse and a keyboard? No, 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 no. That's not going to happen. That's not in the in the budget plan. All right, anyway, here comes the first voicemail. Here we go. Whoops. Here we go again.
Hey, Todd, it's Tom calling from Chicago.
Hey,
I hope
Tom.
You're doing really well.
Good.
Thanks for putting out the shows each week. We greatly appreciate them here in the wonderful Windy City, Chicago, Illinois. Hey, I got a question for you. I wanted to get your take on. What do you think of social media networks? I'm not talking about Facebook, but some of the ones that you can start on your own, like Ning and SocialGo.com. I just wonder whether or not you'd ever consider, you know, moving the Geek News Central onto a social media site like that, or creating it like that rather than the blog that you've got, or if you prefer to keep, you know, your website and your brand name under its own blog and under its own news information source. I know it's kind of a different way of thinking, probably not a way that you could monetize as you are now, but I just want to get your take on that from a new media expert. So thanks. I'll look forward to your reply.
Hey, thanks for the question on that. And, you know, I guess my thought is, and, you know, I look at what Chris Prillo does. He's got his brand. He has his live site. He has his Ning site. I wouldn't be against putting up a area on Ning for the show for people to go to. My experience has been so far that, you know, we've tried forums in the past and they've been highly underutilized. So, you know, and you know, that can be as much as a negative as it is a, well, basically, if someone comes to the website and then there's a link on there to a forum and they go over to the forum and they see no activity, they're going to say, what is the deal? You know, the audience that listens to this show, I have learned are very, very busy people. They earn a very significant salary largely. They are generally married with kids, not young. So their time is limited. And so from that perspective, there's not a lot of time for them to go participate on a Ning type site. Now, if we could have enough folks that would be in there driving discussions and where we could refer back to it on a more regular basis, maybe. And that's something that I would be willing to explore. But we've tried forums before, and it just, you know, it really didn't go. Now that we're having a lot more content on the blog, maybe that would be a secondary option. Definitely would not move the main website. There's just way too much value, even to move it to some of the new sites that are sucking in people's sites. First of all, to be podcast ready at the level that I need to be at and the flexibility I have to have really can only be served by WordPress at this time. There's no other platform that can do what I'm doing with the distribution, the way I'm distributing the show, is impossible. Just to be able to do it right, without PowerPress, my site, the whole podcasting thing would be hurt severely. So I guess that kind of answers that. The brand is important. You guys know I don't use FeedBurner for the exact reason. You know, FeedBurner, I see so many people having troubles with FeedBurner. Own your own domain, own your own website, keep control of what you have. And, that way you don't ever have to worry. If you control it, you own it. It's your brand. You live or die by it. You can still add this extra stuff, but, you know, I've done many, many discussions with media creators and saying, control your stuff. Control. That's one of the reasons why we only offer media hosting at Raw Voice. We don't offer like this siloed place to have your show. People that are having their shows over on Libsyn in their silo, you know, they're locked in. They can't grow. They can't change their website. They're constrained. It's the same thing if we would have someone be over on Blueberry, they'd be in. We tried it, but it went against our better judgment. So that's why we eliminated that product and strictly went to the hosting, made it simple so podcasters could publish in three steps. They write their blog posts, they upload through the PowerPress plugin on the website. Once it's uploaded, they press publish. It was a three-step publishing process. We made it so easy that has been a big part of our success in hosting podcast media. We tried to make it really easy for the person that really didn't understand new media. But sadly, I see too many podcasters today going over to sites like, and again, these are, they do a great job for what they do, but you know, they get into siloed websites like Podbean and these others, and they're stuck. You know, they're stuck. They can't get out of there, or they can, but it comes at a big price to their audience. No, would not move. I would consider running a social.geeknewscentral.com or something like that, but would never move the site. But anyway, that's it. And again, you know, everyone has their own needs in hosting and their own goals. So, you know, I don't want to say that my way is the right way or the highway, because that's not the case. And, but it's just my experience. I'm bailing people out of trouble all the time and giving them ways to figure out how to get back on the right track. So I have to live my own message and just know what the keys to success are. And hopefully people replicate that. They can have the same success. I got an email from my mom, and she sent an email, and she said, Todd, did you know there's going to be two moons on 27th of August? It'll be planet Mars with the brightest in the night sky starting August. It will look as large as a full moon to the naked eye. This will cultivate on August 27th when Mars will become within 34.65 million miles. Hey, Mom, did you get snookered here? Was this last year? It says August 27th, 2010. It says this will be the closest approach until 2287. We're going to have to validate that, Mom, and make sure that date was right. I thought we talked about this last year, but maybe not. Maybe this is good. Anyway, we'll make sure it's not... make sure it's the real deal here. Got an email from Phil. He said, hey, Todd and company, found you guys on Roku tonight. Just thought I'd say hi from Massachusetts, Phil. Hey, Phil, thanks for that. And Phil, make sure you follow me on Twitter at Geek News. I'm definitely going to follow you back as well. Got an email from Nicholas. He said, hey, Todd, sorry to ask about this, but I just want to see if you've got a chance to mail the Roku. Yes, Nick, your Roku went out today, so it is in the mail and on the way inbound. Got an email here from Trucker Tom. He says, hey, Todd, Gazelle lands $12 million to buy and resell your used electronics. So it has this up, have this link up in the show notes for you. Got an email here from Jeff. He says, hey, Todd, check out HP going forward with Slate. Talks about the HP Slate 500 over on the Engadget site. Thanks for that, Jeff. And Jeff's out of Louisville. I got an email here from Jack. He says, hey, Todd, you may already know about this, but I want to share an article with you. MP3 Tunes Digital Music Locker comes to the Roku. Yep, they've sent me four or five emails on that, probably because I've got a couple of these things registered to me. But MP3 Tunes, a cloud-based digital music service, is now available. And I guess they're giving you 10 gigs of storage or 10 gigabytes of music to be uploaded. So this is pretty cool. Thanks for that, Jack. And let me look at the date here on this last email, make sure I haven't covered that before. Nope, this should be another one. I got an email from Greg. Greg, you had expressed interest in doing the be the Facebook page basically moderator, and we'll definitely be emailing you here shortly. Got an email from Dan. You guys remember when Wicked Lasers was a sponsor here on the show? He said, hey, Todd, about 3 weeks ago, I ordered a 1-watt blue laser from Wicked Lasers, the one George Lucas is trying to ban. It was promised to ship in 1 to 3 business days, but nobody has received one yet. Some people have been waiting for 6 weeks now. Some people are saying it's a scam, and like others like me are waiting patiently for it. Well, last night, I and everyone else who ordered one got an email from them saying that due to a huge amount of orders, due to press attention, they have had to increase the price from $199 to $299 on July 23rd. So if you want one of these bad boys, you got to order it, well, probably too late. So if you want one, now is the time to buy. It's a cool piece of kit, and I imagine the company is struggling to keep up with orders. They've been a sponsor here before, and I'm sure that they're going to fill their orders. So thanks for that, Dan, and I'll have this linked up too in the show notes. All right, folks, we're running long. Thanks for hanging out with me. Again, the email address is geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is open 24 hours a day, 365 days in the year. It is available for you to call in, comment, slam, bash, leave love notes, whatever you want to do. That telephone number is 619-342-7365. I want to thank you for hanging out with me. It's been my pleasure to bring the show to you tonight. We'll be back with you. Here's a special deal. I'm going to record Monday's show during the daytime. It'll probably be going down around 6 p.m. Eastern. Both shows next week, we're going to try 2 shows during the daytime. It's going to be a challenge to get the studio right. But 6 p.m. Eastern on Monday is when I'm going to get started. So if you want to watch the show early, that'll be the time. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. And aloha.